Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Glad to have you along today. And if you just tuned in, you missed our first hour conversation. Had Grace, who normally you hear if you call the show, had her in studio. And between Grace and Matt and I, we've sort of reminisced over 2014 and picked some of our favorite highlights from this last year. We played them and talked about them. Great time. And so we heard clips from Lisa Bevere, from Jim Cimbala, from Tommy Barnett, from Chuck Swindoll, from Kay Warren. And boy, we've been blessed this past year. Well, we're moving and switching gears, talking to another one of my favorite people. This girl is a sister of my heart. She's written a lot of books. She travels the world and speaks about marriage and relationships. And I love having her on the show. So let me give her a formal introduction and we'll get the conversation started. Erin Smalley is an author and speaker based in Colorado Springs. She works with her husband, Dr. Greg Smalley, who you hear on the show regularly, doing marriage intensives and seminars. She and Greg live in Colorado Springs with their four great children, Taylor, Murphy, Garrison, and Annie, and you can find her on the web at myfaithradio.com. She's also, what's your official position, director of programming?
I'm a program director.
At Focus on the Family. So she's got a lot going on, and yet she made time for us today. Erin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, Susie. It's always a blessing and a pleasure.
Well, you are just a dear sister of my heart, and we always have a good time when we chat, whether we're on the air or not. So, now, you know, we love to start out our conversations talking scripture, and I know you love the word, Erin. I'm wondering if there's a verse that just God's been speaking about these days.
You know, we were just talking beforehand, and this verse just came to mind, Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So just to be kind and compassionate to one another. I think so often, especially, you know, during the holidays when we have family around and there's those challenging dynamics at times, although we'd like to think they're not there, they are. And just what an opportunity we have just to be kind and compassionate to each other.
As Christ has been with us. And I have a question for you about forgiveness in a few minutes here. And but first, if you don't mind, for those who've not heard our previous conversations, give us some of the inspiration and backstory behind the book, The Wholehearted Wife, 10 Keys to a More Loving Relationship.
You know, it was birthed out of my own experience, really, with my father-in-law. As a young believer, and actually the first time I met him, I wasn't a believer yet, and I heard him speak, and just some of the stuff that he taught really resonated with me. And then as I got into his material and started watching the, many people remember in the 90s, the early 90s, he had the video series called Hidden Keys to Loving Relationships. That was my first relationship training material, and really I came from a home that we really never talked about stuff like that. And so then little did I know years later I'd be marrying Gary Smalley's son. And so the material that I learned from him truly transformed who I was, how I showed up in relationships. So over the years I've told him, Dad, you got to go back to that original material. It's awesome. It's amazing. It changed my life. And, you know, it changed millions of others' lives. And so really the book was based on the topics from those videos, and some of the material is engraved into the book, woven into the book. And it was birthed out of that, just a love for these basic truths. They're based on scripture. My father-in-law had such a unique way of just basically explaining it, and the stuff stands true to this day.
Isn't
it's
that amazing?
Basic, great truths. And so it's applied in the book we really went after it that it's applied to a woman. And so really, how do we communicate in and of ourselves? What's that conversation look like in our head that's going on, that's always going on, that inner dialogue? What does that look like? How do we communicate with our spouse? And then how does communication impact our marriage? And so it goes through the 10 different topics, honor, anger, forgiveness, the sexual relationship, turning our trials that we go through into benefits and into treasures. And so each topic is applied to us, to our spouse, and then to our marriage.
Mm, so good. So we've got five copies of the Smalley's book. I love it. Smalley in Big Words, Aaron, Greg, and Gary. So they work together to form this book, The Wholehearted Wife. We've got five copies. If you've got a question for Aaron today, here's the phone number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And here's a quote from the book. God intensely values marriage and wants all of us to do the same. He created the union between you and your husband, and he cares deeply about it. As individuals, you and your husband matter, but you are more than just the sum of two parts. You are a marriage team, and your oneness is of great worth. If there's something that I've learned from you two, it's that it's you're a team. And if it's a win for one and a loss for the other, it's a loss for the team. Talk about that team mindset, because so many of us have heard the idea of compromise and 50-50, and but this idea of team, win or loss, you know, is really kind of revolutionary.
You know what? It is so essential, because so often in marriage, when we're making decisions or, you know, trying to decide something, somebody will feel like they're losing. And really, when you look at that, that doesn't even work, because we are married. We are one. We are a team. Therefore, if one loses, the other one is losing and they don't even know it. And then, you know, the other flip side of that is that often one person isn't going to say, this feels like a loss to me. And the other, you know, Greg will, for the sake of peace, we discovered early on that sometimes he wouldn't say anything at all because he didn't want to rock the boat. So he would just let me have my way. And I had no idea that it was a loss for him. Thus, it was a loss for our team. So it's so important to just recognize you're on the same team if you're married. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to make decisions, why not adopt, you know, a mindset that we're going to make decisions based on something that feels great to both of us. Let's work this through and find something that's a win for you and a win for me. Compromise is something that, you know, people say, well, it sounds like compromise to me. Well, maybe, but really what we feel like that is that you're kind of settling down. Instead, we want you to settle, not to settle, but to find something that you both feel really good about.
That you can
something
both...
that's moving up.
Yeah, that rises up. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I learned so much from you both over the years around that whole concept. And one of my sons, you know, I raised these three big boys. They're all, you know, they're big, clunky, wonderful guys. And we have a pit bull. And so my house is just a house of clunkies, you know what I mean? And I love them all so much. But one of my sons married, they all married these small girls. Go figure. But anyway, one of them is, you know, she has cats. And she, so for her to get married, to move into a new place, to start a new job was enough transition. And when my son wanted to get a dog, he got a big clunky dog. And I'm watching the dynamic. And I'm always so careful as the mother-in-law. But I just had a conversation with my son. And I just said, honey, after a little while watching this, and I said, is it okay if I just make an observation? He said, sure, Mom. And I said, I get the feeling this dog might be a win for you, but I think it's a loss for her. And I explained what I'd learned from you guys about that. And he goes, really? And I said, I don't know for sure, but I said, she's had to endure a lot of transition. Why don't you ask her? Ask her. And he said, I will. And it unleashed a conversation like you cannot believe. He called me back and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. I actually heard from her parents. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But he just realized this isn't the time. I mean, she was trying to be accommodating new wife, but it was costing her so much. But it became a win for both of them. And I thought there's just a perfect example of, you know, he's like, I just didn't know because she was trying to accommodate. But together when we look at, is it a win for both of us? It isn't. So it's a loss for now. And it was a powerful, powerful experience just because of that one concept.
That's awesome. And so this conversation happened before he got the dog I'm taking, or
no,
had he already
after.
Gotten the dog?
He'd had the dog for a while.
After.
And it was not,
okay.
I was just sort of watching going, I don't know that she's enjoying this as much as he is, you know?
Yeah. So did they keep the dog or did they just work through it?
They found another family for the dog. And he said, I'm so committed to you that if this isn't working for you, this isn't the time for us. So.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so great to hear.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Indeed. Okay, so we're going to say a little bit about forgiveness, and then we have to take a short break here in a moment, so I want to pick it up on the other side as well, because if you don't mind, I want to camp here for a little bit, because this is an area where, you know, Scripture says love keeps no account, and yet we do keep accounts, and we remember, and sometimes we confuse keeping no account with maybe going in again and again to a dysfunctional situation, as if that's unforgiveness. So I want you, first of all, just before we take a break, set up the concept, a healthy idea of forgiveness, especially in the context of marriage.
You know, really what we, how we describe it is that when we're angry with someone, when there is unforgiveness, it's like we are tying knot, like it's a rope and it has knots tied into it. And really what forgiveness is it's releasing the knots. It's in really, it's so beneficial for us personally. It's not, you know, forgetting what they did. It's not, you know, excusing poor behavior or poor choices, but it's really, it's setting the prisoners free, yourself in them, in that I am not holding this inside of me any longer, because we are the ones that suffer when we hold that unforgiveness. And the thing that I've learned recently is that, you know, really sometimes we're not even aware of what we're holding inside of us toward another person. You know, we think, oh, I've worked through that, I've forgiven, and but yet there's these whole new levels that God brings that he helps us to become aware of. That there's things that, you know, okay, now you forgave here. Now I want to take you to this deeper level, this deeper place yet. And he just recently did miraculous things in my own heart around forgiveness.
Wow. I love that. He sets the plow a little deeper when we're ready for it. And he does that so beautifully. Yeah. Talking to Erin Smalley, the title of her book is The Wholehearted Wife, 10 Keys to a More Loving Relationship. This conversation isn't just for women. It's for men, too. We're going to talk about the power of a woman's influence in marriage. But, men, we'd love to hear from you as well of how we can powerfully influence you. But when we come back, we're going to pick up this conversation around forgiveness. There's a lot here, I think. We welcome your questions as well, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Grace is back on the phones. Otherwise, you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Really true. There's a little bit of heaven everywhere. Just open your eyes, bend your ear, listen to what God is saying, watch what he's up to, and your heart will be filled. I'm talking to Erin Smalley today. Title of her book is The Wholehearted Wife, 10 Keys to a More Loving Relationship. And really, we're going to zero in on the power of a woman's influence and the way that we show up in marriage. And men, we welcome your questions and comments as well. But I wanted to ask more about forgiveness. You know, Erin, Scripture calls us to make allowances for each other's faults. And I would love for you to make the distinction between what things to kind of make a deal about and what things we sort of need to just let go and shake off.
You know, the big thing, Susie, is especially in marriage, we're going to have opportunities each and every day, you know? I mean, numerous times a day to forgive each other. I know that you and Kev are as transparent about that as Greg and I are, that, you know, we can have arguments about 10 different things. And, well, not really arguments, but just, you know, seeing things different throughout the day. And there's opportunities there, especially, I mean, we both have the opportunity to forgive, but as a wife, you know, we can set that we can set the tone that, you know what, I choose forgiveness. Because if you don't, if you're desiring intimacy, connection in your marriage, if you're going after things by not forgiving, what you end up doing is erecting walls. And that is going to keep you from the exact opposite thing that you desire in marriage, and that it was created. I mean, God created marriage, and, you know, he thought two were better than one. And so we come together, and we have a magnificent power and ministry that can come through our marriage relationship. And I know that for me personally, I don't want to create distance and walls to keep me away from my husband.
So, Erin, what's the difference between keeping short accounts and keeping that communication line open as it relates to these different offenses and being nitpicky and just highly offendable? Do you know what I'm saying? Where the guy feels like he cannot get ahead because everything bothers us and hurts our feelings.
Yes. You know, and this, Greg is really good about reminding me about this. I don't know if this is your experience, because as women, we will focus on just, I think by nature, we often notice what they did wrong versus what they did right. And there's so many times, just recently, I came home from, I went to this training in Austin, Texas. And Greg, literally, he bent over backwards. He had the kids. He said, you know what, just leave it all to me. You go and do what you're going to do, and I'm going to take care of all of this here. Well, I came home. I had this amazing experience, and he just continued into the mode of, you know, getting kids where they need to be, laundry, dishes. And really, he didn't stop the way I thought he would, the way I expected him to sit down and say, you know, tell me all about your experience. We just didn't have that connection point. So what I did is I started going to coffee with my girlfriends because they were asking me, tell me about it. I want to know about it. And finally, by the end of the week, I could feel the tension building. And I said, you know, I just can't believe you haven't asked me about my experience. I mean, he had, but not at the same level as my girlfriends. And literally, he looked at me and he said, I cannot believe that you noticed the one thing I didn't do versus, you know, I did all of this so you could go. Mm. And the hilarious thing is that we just had very different expectations about how this was going to go. He thought that I would be falling over grateful with just thankfulness for all the things that he did. Versus I came home and was like, well, he didn't connect with me the way I wanted him to connect with me. And so it was just a really good lesson. We worked through it and got to a really great place. We did take time to sit down so he could hear everything I wanted to share. But then I also had the opportunity just to thank him for all the things he had done versus the thing that he didn't do that I was expecting. And again, as ladies, it's easy to pick out what he's not doing. Make sure, you know, give 5 compliments to every 1 negative thing you're going to share. You know, make sure that it's in balance because especially as men, they need to know that they have what it takes. They want to feel successful. So, you know, if you want to see a behavior, more of a certain behavior, make sure that you're praising him for that behavior. Model what you're desiring. If you want a, you know, better communication, then start learning how to be a better communicator. We have so much influence in our marriage relationship, and I think often we don't realize that how we show up has a great impact on the end result.
Wow, great story. Appreciate you sharing that so much. And you and I have talked about this before, but the difference between maybe a woman whose heart has closed because it's been broken so many times and maybe the husband is clueless, and the woman who maybe is married to basically a good guy but has focused on the things that he's not done and missed the things that he has done to the point where she's become a list keeper and a rehearser, and he's just at a loss, right? Mm-hmm. And so first, I would love for you to speak to both of these girls because they're two different situations, and you and I both met women in those scenarios. So first, if you wouldn't mind, speak to the woman who's just like, I have tried these things. He is clueless. My heart is broken. And if I open it up at all, he just steps on it again. What am I supposed to do?
And my heart breaks for that woman because that is, it is so real that there are instances in marriage where, you know, again and again, your heart is just stomped on. And, you know, it feels horrible. And so for that woman, I just, my heart goes out to you. However, when you're in that situation, and you start reflecting back on where is your heart in all of this, because it's really easy for our hearts to shut down and then to eventually harden. And again, our hearts are our responsibility. God gave us the job of managing our hearts. And when our hearts are closed down, sure, we can point at every scenario that's going on, you know, the kids, you know, finances, our husband, whatever's going on, and say, it's all that that's causing my heart to close down. But the bottom line is, our heart, we can still have an open heart against all these, you know, difficult circumstances. And so, you know, reflect back. The thing that we have noticed is that often we aren't even aware that our hearts are closed down. And that is a great threat to marriage because as our heart closes down and if it fossilizes or hardens, that is when we really lose perspective. And, you know, and then we do things that we are going to regret. We say things we're going to regret. And, you know, it really puts our marriage at, the greatest risk. A hardened heart can just absolutely devastate a marriage.
And God can really meet her in that place, even if her husband's missing it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Surround yourself with some godly women. We just ran a group of the Wholehearted Wife here in Colorado Springs. And 2 of the women who walked in the first night really said, you know, I don't know if I'm in or if I'm out. You know, I'm not sure if I'm staying in this marriage or if I'm walking. And I'm not kidding you, 10 weeks later, after being surrounded by these godly women talking about marriage issues and being very vulnerable and authentic and real about how hard marriage can be. You know, we all have the seasons of highs. We have the seasons of lows. But the amazing thing, it was a lot of older women speaking to the younger women of saying, you know what, you can do this. And, you know, lo and behold, 10 weeks later, both of those women they said, we're in.
Wow.
We're committed. And, you know, really, we want to continue into the next semester. Although we've gone through the book, I'm like, well, now what are we going to do? You know, that we want to continue surrounding each other and supporting each other and rallying each other to be the kind of wife that we desire to be. Because God can give us that power and that ability to do that. We just have to be willing.
And you think about those two marriages with the kids and the future generations. I mean, that's changed the trajectory of those generations and their story and their history. Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
You know what? That is, I am telling you time and time again, when a woman chooses, especially if there's been infidelity in their marriage, you know, there's, you know, pornography, there's some really challenging things. And yes, there are, those are situations where boundaries need to be set. But a boundary, I know we've talked a lot about this, Susan, Susie, a boundary is not set to shut your heart down. A boundary is set so your heart can stay open and you can, you know, stay open to this relationship and to the Lord, to what he's going to do in your spouse's heart and your husband's heart. And, you know, so there's just those challenges. But when you make that choice, you're choosing a legacy of hope, a legacy for your children, you know, to say, you know what, gosh, we went through this really hard time, but we fought for our marriage. I fought for my marriage. And, you know, that is quite a legacy to hand down.
So good. Well, Erin, we've got a couple minutes before we take a break, a quick break. But I described two scenarios of women. One is her heart is hardened because she has had her heart broken so many times. The other is her heart is irritated because she's only noticing the things her husband doesn't do when she's actually married to a really good guy. It's just where she's focusing. What words of wisdom do you have for her?
You know, this gal definitely over the years could have been me. You know, just the irritations and, you know, the seasons where you're stressed, maybe you're busy and you have young kids and they're pulling at you, you're exhausted. And, you know, really it's just so important to, A, reflect back on where is my heart and where, how am I showing up? And is this who I want to be? And, you know, yes, all this craziness is going on, but again, there's a choice to be made of how do I want to show up in this scenario, and really being intentional about choosing to look for the things that I appreciate, that, you know, having gratitude toward my husband and making the effort to share that with him. Because again, it's easier to go, well, you didn't take the trash out, but you know what? He took the kids to school. He went to work today and, you know, is being a great provider. And, you know, so he didn't ask me how my day was when he walked in the door. Well, you know, maybe he was exhausted. How can I show up for him? And as you, again, the influence that we have, that we're modeling what we desire, every choice we make, it's modeling to him. We just technically show up in marriage more equipped in relational skills, emotional connection, typically. And so, again, we can be a great role model for him.
And, you know, I love what you and Greg often say is that, you know, you can have all the passion in the world, but passion can wane. You do need some relational skills. You do need some kind of equipment, so to speak, to show up. In fact, if you really engage some of these practices that you're writing about, these 10 keys, it can make or break a relationship. And so you might not even be the relationship type, but you start to love, you start to forgive, you start to notice what's right and good. It can be the game changer in a relationship, can it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I'm telling you, in that group, over and over again, it was amazing as the weeks went by how these women said, cannot believe how much energy I spent focusing on him.
Oh.
Because really what I'm seeing now is this is my issue. This is me, and I want to work on me. And, you know, even becoming aware of how they're treating themselves and, you know, what the conversation is going on in their head, forgiving themselves, you know, it really impacts then how we show up with others.
So good. When we come back, we're going to talk more about communication skills. It's a skill. We're going to talk about that with Erin Smalley in just a moment.
Yeah.
glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Hour 2 of Live the Promise, talking to my dear friend Erin Smalley. She co-authored a book with her husband and her father-in-law called The Wholehearted Wife, 10 Keys to a More Loving Relationship. Before the break, we were talking about forgiveness and the importance of really focusing on what's praiseworthy, right, and true, as Scripture says. And yes, addressing things that hurt your feelings and keeping the lines of communication open, but not rehearsing and rehashing perpetually your disappointments, and focusing especially, as we wives can tend to do, on the things our husbands are not doing. So, Erin, in the book, you also offer some tips for deeper communication with our husbands. And if you don't mind, I'd love to just sort of take these one by one and have you comment on them. And the first one was evaluate your communication expectations. What do you say about that one?
You know, that is a good one, because often we expect our husbands to communicate with us in ways that they are not equipped. Their whole communication style is often different than ours. You know, when I talk to you, Susie, it's very different than a conversation I'm going to have with Greg, because we our brains work differently. We show up differently in conversation. We can go deep quickly. And then we expect our husbands to do the same thing. But the reverse is often true, that they have to warm up into a conversation. They have to gradually get into a conversation. And their brains just don't work like ours do. Now, sometimes this is different in a married couple. The guy might say, you know what, really, I feel like I'm more like the woman in our communication styles, and my wife shows up more like the man, you know. But typically this is true. And so we have to evaluate, what are we expecting from him? And is it fair? I mean, really, are we expecting something that he can't give us?
And so how did your expectations adjust when you start to learn about the differences between Greg and you?
You know, what I learned is that I needed to be very clear with him with what I was wanting. And, you know, he is able to go to that deep level, but it's going to take him longer. And so, and it is also really helpful if I feel disconnected. As a matter of fact, several months ago, like, we really haven't had a like deep heart conversation, and I was desiring that. I felt some distance. Instead of sitting him down and lecturing him about that, I decided to ask him if he wanted to go hiking. And so we went on a hike on a Sunday afternoon. It was beautiful. And literally we hiked for over an hour and we talked the entire time, but he had no idea what I was up to. He had no idea that I really didn't want to go on a hike. I wanted to talk. But I knew that's how I was going to get that connection with him, because men, they often connect when they're doing something, because as women, we want to be face to face. Really, what they want shoulder to shoulder. They want to communicate while they're doing something. They're not created in the same way we are. And so it's just good to be aware of that if you really want that deep connection, it might mean going out in the driveway and shooting hoops, or going on a hike, going, you know, doing something together, going and working out, whatever it is that your husband likes to, going fishing. My husband loves to fish. And you know what? I don't like to fish, but I know if I go with him, it's going to be deep conversation on the way up there, driving together, and then also while we're standing or sitting on the edge of a beautiful lake, mm-hmm. and he's fishing. I mean, great opportunity for connection.
So that's a great opportunity for us to just sort of maybe better know our husbands, know how we can meet them sort of on their turf at times, and not expect it always to go our way. You also said mm-hmm. study your husband's communication patterns. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. You know, really just watch when he is more likely and more apt to be in that more talkative mood. You think about it. I know for Greg, he comes to work. He is with people all day long. He's in meetings all day long. He's doing radio programs. He's talking all day long. You know, the bottom line, I have more words than he does.
And he's an introvert.
He's an introvert. I'm an extrovert. I'm female. I have lots of words. And he'll look at me and go, really, I didn't know that about you. But, you know, it's quite apparent. those people who know us, I mean, it is very obvious that I am very verbal in how I connect. And so I have to watch him when he walks into the door after a long day. It's not the right time for me to sit down and want to have a deep, although that's when I want to unload about my day. And, you know, it's not going to be the time that he's going to want to connect with me. You know, if he has some time after he's sat down and maybe watched one of his favorite shows and eaten dinner and, you know, just give him some time to decompress. Typically, there's a window of opportunity there. I've watched for it, and I know it's there. If I get up in the morning with him, he gets up early and works out. If I can get up before the kids get up and connect with him then, that works out great for him. So it's just watching. You know, some of your husbands out there, you know, they're working night shifts. You know, when they walk in the door after working all night is not the greatest time to try to connect. Or if they've got a lot of stress going on, you know, just start watching what keeps him from wanting to connect. What causes him maybe to step back and retreat? You know, what is going on in his life, and just really trying to understand that. Because, you know, we think about as girlfriends, I'm not going to call you and say, hey, Susie, and, you know, go into a 30-minute, you know, dissertation about what's going on in my life. I'm going to ask you, are you at a place that you're able to talk right now? You know, I've got some really important things to talk to you about. Versus with our husbands, often we just unload and we expect them to receive it and to be able to listen and then to go to this deep level. That's not, A, it's not fair, and B, it's not realistic.
Yeah.
And so, again, it goes back to evaluating our expectations and really watching to really understand him.
And that's such a great way to honor them, you know, to honor the fact that they're different than we are. Okay, here's one that I'm sure you'll have a lot to say about. It says, spice up your talks with some conversational foreplay. What do you mean? Did you mean to write that?
I think actually Greg wrote that.
I'm sure he did.
Yes, you know that really foreplay and communication is really all about warming into the experience. You know, with physical intimacy, it's much different. For us as women, we have to warm into that experience. My father-in-law, I always loved this analogy that, you know, he says men sexually are like microwave ovens and we're like crockpots as women. Well, it's the opposite in communication, that as women, we can just, you know, get right in and warm it up. You know, we're like microwave ovens versus they are more like the crockpot. They're warming into this relational connection. And so we just, again, being aware of that and what's going to be a warming experience for him. What is it that's going to help him? And if you don't know, ask him. And he may not be able to verbalize it, but, you know, have a conversation and start poking around. Like, what would I do? How would I ask? You know, what would this look like for you? Would going for a walk help? You know, and they may not be able to communicate that, but they might. And you might just listen and ask and really just be a, we always say, earn a PhD in your spouse.
Mm.
And really what that means is just be a lifelong learner about who they are. And, of course, we all change. I would like to say as women, we change a whole lot more, I think, than they do, although they change too. We are different people. I know Greg and I are very different than we were 23 years ago when we said, I do. You know, we've been through different seasons, and, you know, it just influences then how we show up in our relationship. So just be a lifelong learner and really go at it. Don't be offended, you know, because it's so easy to go, ah, oh, he's not connecting with me the way I want him to. Well, start studying that. What is it? What's in the way? What's going on? Are you showing up with a critical tone when you start to engage him in a conversation? I'm sure Greg has said this to you before, Susie, that if I say, you know what, if I call him or text him at work and say, hey, we've got to have a conversation tonight when you get home, well, he interprets that he's in trouble. And it may not even be about him. And, you know, he'll be panicking, texting me, you know, what's this about? What did I do wrong? And I'm like, no, it's about the kids. And he'll be like, oh, okay, you know. But again, we have to be careful about how we approach these things and how we show up when we're going to communicate.
So before we go through this list a little more, I'm thinking of the woman listening going, okay, Aaron, it seems like you're meeting Greg on his terms consistently. What about him meeting you on your terms and coming over to your turf? What do you say about that? I mean, I know you guys well enough that Greg does come over to your, you know, he enters into your world and does the things that you care about. But what do you say to that?
Mm-hmm. That's, you know, it's tough when we are continually making the effort and, you know, and showing up in a way that we want him to show up and he might not be noticing. The thing that I can say, especially after running this group, is that as these women showed up differently, one of the women who, when she came to the group the first night and said, you know, we just had one of the worst fights we have ever had in our 8 years of marriage, and I don't know if I'm going to stand this relationship or not. Her husband, you know, within weeks was thanking her for going to this group on Wednesday nights because he saw that it influenced how she showed up. And so, you know, you can only control you. You cannot control, you know, what he does or does not do. And if you start, you know, if you're discouraged and it's difficult, you know what, turn to the Lord. Let him refill you. Let him give you the energy. there's a time to have that conversation. You know, plan it carefully. Look for the perfect opportunity. Don't do it at a time when you're angry. You know, sit down and have a conversation about, this is what I'm really noticing, that, you know, you're not showing up when I'm talking, you know, I'm noticing that you're not engaging, and I would love to talk to you. I'd love to connect with you at this deeper level. You know, I'm desiring to know more about you. You know, how could this happen? Have some ideas to throw out to him. Would this work? You know, Focus on the Family on the main website has it's an app that you can download, the Focus on the Family app, and there's question starters, conversation starters that you can use in your marriage. Because sometimes it's hard to know, what do I ask him? How, you know, what is going to work for a healthy conversation? These are some real basic questions that will help you get to those deeper levels, and they're safe. And it's a way that's going to encourage hearts to remain open, and that's critical to having a great conversation.
One thing you and Greg constantly say that I think is just so great as well is to have times where you're connecting like that, where you're not administrating your marriage, where you sort of keep that off bounds. Because there's times to have a quote-unquote business meeting where you're going to talk about all these things. But if you try to do that during a date or talk while you're talking about your feelings, it sure seems to be a recipe for a perfect storm, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. And I'm sure you've heard many of those stories from Greg about how we've experienced that. You know, we have to remember that, you know, marriage is hard work. And there is so much going on in our lives. The average couple is spending about 4 minutes a day connecting at a deep level. You know what? If you want that to look differently in your life, there's things that you can do. If you want that to look differently in your marriage, there's things that you can do to set up to facilitate that. Plan a weekly date night or even every other week, once a month, and just having that time together to have fun, to connect. Set aside the finances, the kids, the in-laws, the stress at work, you know, all of that. Set it aside and go and have fun. Think back to when you were dating, you know, when you would go out on your dates as you were falling in love, you know, that wasn't something that we had to be told necessarily. It just kind of happened. You know, we would go out and go to a movie and dinner and, you know, we'd have a great time, lots of laughter. Bring some of that back into your marriage, especially as we, you know, approach this new year. Make it your goal to really protect that fun date night time, you know, facilitate it. I know women will say, well, I want him to plan it. Well, yes, that's probably what we would all like, but if it's not going to happen, then do it.
That's right.
Do it not only for the sake of your spouse, do it for the sake of your marriage relationship. There's this marriage thing that we are both equally responsible for. You're taking care of that marriage relationship. And, you know, it's for the health of that relationship that the benefits are so great. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not do that?
And if you're willing to just sort of lay down your sword and say, our marriage needs a date, he's not planning them ideally. I wish he would, but I'm going to plan because our marriage needs a date. And if he starts to see the benefit of it, he'll maybe start to initiate. But more women get so bitter because he isn't initiating, and then it's a stalemate, isn't it? Not worth it. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to finish through this list about communication. And one thing that Erin says is that we need to accept fine as a reasonable answer. What do you think about that? She's got some splaining to do. Talking to Erin Smalley about the wholehearted wife. Don't go away. More when we get back. He's the hope for all mankind. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Having a great conversation with my friend Erin Smalley. I love this girl. She's got a great book. It's titled The Wholehearted Wife, 10 Keys to a More Loving Relationship. And we've been walking through some really important tips, deeper communication tips. And, you know, communication is so key in relationships. That's where things tend to break down. So some of the ones we've talked about up to this point are evaluate your communication expectations, study your husband's communication patterns, spice up your talks with some conversational foreplay. If you want to know what that's about, go back and catch the podcast. Pick the right moment and the right activity. And here's another one I know you guys have learned from experience. Don't multitask while talking with your husband. Explain why that matters.
Well, you think about it. This is something that, again, I don't know why, Susie, I don't know if Greg sent you a list of what to talk to me about today. But, I mean, I'm talking, I am so horrible with the cell phone. And, you know, I'll be talking to Greg and I'll be trying to, well, I'll be texting or I used to be pretty blatant about it, you know, texting and checking emails while he was talking to me. Pretty soon, you know, then he started stopping the conversation altogether, and he'd be silent. I'd be like, what's wrong? He's like, you're checking your emails or texting. And I'm like, well, I can do both. Well, I think I can do both. But really, the honest truth is when you're not giving somebody eye contact, you're losing a lot of the conversation. And I just realized, you know, it was really pretty rude that I was trying to do this, you know, connect with others while I'm connecting with him. What message does that send to him that he's not important enough for me to set things aside to really give him my full undivided attention? And that was not the message I was wanting to send to him. And that is so much of this is all, what do we want to create within this relationship? What are we wanting to create with our spouse? And really what I'm wanting to create and wanting to cause with him is really connection and, you know, honor and that he's valuable to me. I want him to know that. And so therefore my behavior needs to back that up. And he needs to see that I'm willing to set other things aside because he gets the first
yes.
gifts from me.
Yeah,
you know, I don't
want
to give them to everybody else and not to him.
And don't you think that also translates so well in friendships and meetings and all other things, you know, because when you're at lunch with someone and they're checking their phone constantly, you do feel sort of like, why did we do this again? Because I'm really busy.
Here?
Yeah. And yeah, I've got to tell you, I got a daughter-in-law who looks into my soul when I'm talking with her. And I, you know, and when you think about the contrast of people are kind of listening and their heads bobbing down, we're so used to it because it's the culture. But I've noticed that again and again with her, that her hands are down and she's staring so fully that it makes me want to be so fully present with her. I love that about her. And I feel like for her young generation, that is so rare. But you really do give the gift of yourself when you're that focused on somebody, don't you?
You really do. And, you know, it was funny. I was reading this magazine several years back, and it was something like the, you know, 50 rules of the Southern woman's, you know, etiquette or something like that. And one of the rules was that your cell phone shouldn't even be on the table.
Hmm.
And, you know, you're in a meeting or at lunch with a friend, you look around, there's cell phones everywhere, you know, or people checking their emails on their computer while you're in a meeting. And, you know, again, that's not who I don't want to communicate that message to them.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm there, I love that. You know, giving the eye contact is so important. We learned going through the adoption process that the greatest thing that we could do with our child, our daughter from China, was to get Annie to look at us in the eyes because that is connecting.
Wow.
There's something so attaching about that. And that really is when the conviction came down for me that, you know, here I was working so hard to get Annie to look at me in the eyes, yet I was not giving my husband my eyes.
That's so
And he
good.
Deserves my eyes. He deserves my heart. And that is who I want to be when I'm interacting with him.
My oldest son said, you know, he got all kinds of advice when he got married. He said the best advice he'd heard was a friend told him, look in her eyes every day and have a conversation while you're looking at each other's eyes. And he said, I feel sad when that doesn't happen because I feel such a connection when it does. So, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you said offer your husband a diet story, quote unquote. And what does that mean?
You know, the diet story, again, for me, I want to give him all the courses, everything, you know. We just did fondue the other night. We did cheese fondue, and then we did the main course. We actually grilled it instead of dipping it in hot grease, which I guess it's a little bit healthier. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did the chocolate fondue. Instead of giving that whole dietary experience, you know, give him just that fast food version of where it's just quick, it's compact, it's one topic, it's one course, it's not all of it at once, because it overwhelms them. Their brains are different than ours, and it's overwhelming to them to hear all of the details and all of the words, and then for us it connects us to an experience 10 years ago, and, you know, it really does overwhelm their brains. So just give them the very simple, straightforward, you know, we can share emotion, but, you know, mm-hmm. just make sure, just guard against overwhelming them with your words.
And that's, again, just kind and respectful.
Yes.
Soften your approach, careful on the criticism. You touched on that, but talk about softening your approach, because that does take some real intention, doesn't it?
Yeah, because if he feels like we're starting this conversation with criticism and harshness, and, you know, how open is he going to be? We want to give ourselves the greatest chance of him hearing us, and therefore we have to create that environment. And the environment that's going to help him stay open to us and his heart to stay open is one that is safe, emotionally safe. And part of that is, you know, think about when someone's harsh with you. Do you want to open up to them and share your deepest thoughts, feelings, needs? No. You want to get away. Mm-hmm. I know if someone, you know, bites at me or criticizes me, I want to run because it hurts. And so just think about that as you're approaching him. How can you do that in a way that will help him to stay open? You can't control whether he stays open or not, but you can sure create an environment that's going to give you the greatest chance.
And when you live with someone, you're so comfortable with them, they often can get your leftovers, can get your kind of fleshly responses. So, again, real intention is called for. I mean, I've been married almost 30 years. You've been married 23 years. And we both are madly in love with our husbands, and I'm so grateful for that. But that hasn't come, we just haven't come upon that. It's been through lots of intention, lots of forgiveness, lots of dying to yourself. But when you make those gestures towards Greg, and I know when I make those gestures towards Kev, or kiss him on the top of the head, or I'm tired, but I reach out to have a soft approach to him, it changes the atmosphere. I mean, that's what you mean when you say women have such a power of influence, don't they?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I love how you just said that, Susie, because it's so true. You know, and it's easy to think, I can never do all this, and, you know, on and on. But, you know, maybe after this program, choose one thing. One area that you really want to focus on, you know, if it's communication, if it's your approach with communication, if it's, you know, forgiveness, if there's something that is really keeping you tied in those knots and you want to be open, but, you know, and the great news is we don't have to do all of this on our own. We have a God, the King of the universe, who's standing right by our side and is willing to fuel us through all of this, through being the wholehearted, loving wife that he's calling us to be. We don't have to do it alone. And then we can surround ourselves with, you know, women, godly women who want to be our cheerleaders, who've been there, who, you know, who are willing to be authentically vulnerable with what they've been through. It makes all the difference in how we show up.
Boy, you just painted the picture of godly community, which was formed in your wholehearted wife group even. But that, too, is an important thing. I remember you talked about, we have a mutual friend who she was the one who'd said to you, you know, block the door, don't let me leave, because she was walking through such heartbreak. And so she was sort of counting on her community, saying, this is a super hard time. I'm going to need more than my strength to stick it out. And and she did, didn't she?
Yes, she sure did. And, you know, 15 years, I think it's about 15 years later, you know, they are doing great. But it was getting through that, you know, just through the muck, that it was, you know, it was having other women stand with her. And when she would say, I want to quit, they would say, no, you don't. We know you don't. Why, right in this moment, you feel like you do, but you don't. And we're not going to let you. We're going to stand here with you. And you think about the scripture that says two are better than one. You know, pity the man who is by himself. When he falls down, there's no one else to pick him up. Surround yourself with godly women. When, you know, as women, we've got to surround each other. Don't turn toward another man. Don't turn toward, you know, someone who is not seeking after God's heart like you are. You know, that it has to be people who are willing to morally stand with you in godly ways to push you toward the holiness of God. I mean, that's what we have to have if we're going to be in this pursuit.
Yeah, so good. I'm getting this quote wrong, but it's something to the effect. It's an old quote, something like, destructive and damaging is the sympathy of a fool. And it's like we want to go and hear someone who'll sing our praises when we're hurting, but that's not what you need. You need godly women to love you, but then to call you up, not just to help you sing that sob story to the point where you feel entitled to do whatever it is you want with that relationship. Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah. Well, this has been so good. We just have a moment left here, Erin, wondering if you would pray for that woman who feels like giving up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Lord Jesus, we just come before you and just, Lord, I lift up that woman who's listening right now, Lord, or listens to the podcast later, Jesus, who's just discouraged, who is feeling like there is no hope in her marriage. And I'm here to say that I have seen those scenarios play out. Mm. And one person willing to say, you know what, I believe that there is hope, you know, not because of me, but because of you, Lord, that you are the great relationship healer. You are the God of reconciliation. So, Lord, I ask that you just infuse her heart with hope, with her the ability to see that there is something different that could happen in this marriage relationship. Mm. Lord, just be with her, especially through the holidays, just to feel encouraged and just have somebody surround her, somebody come alongside of her, a godly woman, to say, you know what, I'm going to stand with you through this difficult time. Mm. I'm going to stand with you and keep your eyes focused on him. Lord, just thank you for community. Mm. We love you and thank you in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Erin, we still didn't get to find is a reasonable answer, so we'll pick up there when you come back on the show.
Yes, I would love to tell you more about that.
meet us back here tomorrow for more Live the Promise. Have a blessed evening.